Son created all things, and two rested on the Sabbath day.
Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, for by him all things. This is the same word, 17:22, verse 14, in whom you have redemption through his blood. It wasn't redemption on Christ's behalf, as Matthew would point out, that creation was on his behalf. That's not what the word 17:22 here means. In whom means that Jesus is the cause of redemption. The same word in verse 16 means that Jesus is the cause of things he created. He's not created for him. Redemption wasn't for him. He is the source. He is created. Now, Hebrews 1 verse 2, you notice it says that God, through him, created the world. So God the Father had a part, God the Son had a part. Now, when it says that who rested on the seventh day, since Jesus was there, according to the Bible, that he also rested. Remember, the God refers to all three parts of the God for making the death in many places, not just one part. It's not always God the Father. So, that's my time.
I think that's an excellent question. Hebrews 4 verse 4 says, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. We saw in Hebrews 1, 8 through 9 that the Son was called God by the Father, and then it mentioned his God, therefore God even by God. So it was God the Father that rested. He mentioned the word by in Colossians 1, 16 through 17. It has a wide range of meanings. It's translated because in Hebrews 7, 23. Therefore, Matthew 14, 2. For this cause, Colossians 1, 9. By reason, Romans 8, 20. I could go on and show you how it can be translated because of, on account of. And many scholars of the Greek New Testament do feel that that's how it should be translated. In the Expositor's Greek New Testament, it says, the text does not say all things were made by him. The point is that the preposition in him has a flexible range of meanings. Turner's Grammar of New Testament Greek suggests because of him.
Okay, this is directed to Matthew. The question is there a scripture that says we must confess the Son is deity? Something like that is there a scripture that says we must confess that he is the Son of God? Or are we to confess that he is the Son of deity?
Yahweh and deity, in my mind, it's the same thing. You say God, you're saying Yahweh. Our confession is that whosoever shall confess that Yeshua is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God, 1 John 4:15. Never does the Bible say whosoever shall confess that Yeshua is God. You'll never find that in the Bible. Never. When Philip was talking to the eunuch, I'm going to say this because people in the Church of Christ are present. It doesn't say he preached baptism to him, right? But we know that he did. Just as he preached Yeshua to him, or Jesus to him. But then he said, here is water, what does enemy to be baptized? Well, it also doesn't say he preached anything about the Son or the Trinity or anything like that, but we know that he had to preach that Yeshua was the Son of God because in Acts 8:37, the eunuch said, I believe that Yeshua the Christ is the Son of God. Nothing was said about, I believe that Yeshua is God, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. No. He was the Son of God.
Matthew is right that in Acts 8:37, 10:9-10, we are confessing Jesus is the Son of God. But Thomas confessed that Jesus was God. And Jesus basically in that short confessed that that was true. So if that was true, we are to believe that. We believe everything in the Bible. Many other passages teach that Jesus is God. John 20:28, John 1:1, Acts 10:28. And actually, remember that Matthew agreed with me that Jesus was the Son of God literally? When we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if we mean that literally, we are actually saying that Jesus is God. Not the Father, but deity. Because the Son of a man, literally, has to also be a man. Not that name, it has to be another name. So, if Jesus is the Son of God, literally, as you agree that he is, and more importantly, the Bible teaches that, then he is not God the Father, who proves that, but also proves that he is God. He should not be the Son of God, literally.
You said God is three persons, individuals. And you say he is one person. What is your definition of God? He is one. You said God is three persons.
can't remember what was going through my head. But there are, I don't know what would be a better word to say, persons, individuals, beings. It doesn't matter to me what you call it. One can pray to the other. John says, no, I know the word. What is the one? One God. One God, that's what it is. In Acts 17, verse 29, it's called the Godhead. But notice in John 17, I don't know if I have enough time in my minute, Jesus said, in verse 22, he's praying for the unity of the believers. He says, I pray that they may be one even as we are one. So they're one. They're one God in unity. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're one in the sense that one can't pray to the other. He's actually agreed. Jesus prayed to the Father. So they're one God, three different individuals, or we would not say parts in that one God. That's what the Bible says. But he likes it all.
In Mark 12, 28 through 32, the scribe came to Yeshua. He said, what's the greatest commandment? Yeshua quoted Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh is one. He was not talking about himself. The scribe answered, You got it right, for there is only one God, and there is none other but He. Nothing at all hinted at that there's a Trinity there. There is only one God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, Yeshua is excluded from the one God category. John 17, 3, he calls his Father the only true God. Only really means only, as in all those other passages he brought out. Only means only. So his Father is the only true God, and the only true God sent his Son, his only begotten Son. One God, one begotten Son. Not two gods, not three gods, not three persons of God. We cannot retain the strict monotheism of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament to say that there are persons in the Godhead, multiple personalities, multiple minds, multiple wills. That is not monotheism. That's polytheism. I know he doesn't claim that, but that is what it is. You could have three gods, and they still be unified.
Brother Matthew, do you believe the Holy Spirit is God?
In Genesis 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is God in action. First mention of the Spirit in the Bible, God in action. Genesis 1, verse 2. The Spirit is equated with the one God in Luke 1:35. The power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. Yeshua didn't have two fathers. The Father and the Holy Spirit were one and the same. The Holy Spirit is a different sphere of how Yahweh works. His power, it is similar to when the Bible says the Spirit of Elijah, 2 Kings 2:15. That's not a different person. It's the Spirit of Elijah. And then there's the Spirit of God, Exodus 31:3 mentions that. So when you say Spirit of God or Spirit of man, you're talking about man in his spirit. But when you say Son of God, you're talking about a different being, a different person. Just like I'm the son of my father, I'm not my father. I'm the son of my dad, I'm not my dad. Yeshua is the son of his God, he's my dad.
Okay. First thing I want to say, Matthew would agree with Acts 5 verse 3. Peter said, and that's why I have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Then he said in verse 4, that I have not lied to the men, but in God. The Holy Ghost is God. He is God. That answers the question. I think Matthew would agree with that. But notice in Matthew 3, where Jesus was baptized, at the end you have Jesus. It's that the person from God the Father, because when he's baptized, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But the verse previous said he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Not a dove, but descending like a dove, lighting upon him. So you had God the Father, the Spirit of God who spoke from heaven, the Spirit of God descending, and Jesus in the waters. That's three different persons. And that's going out in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If that shows that the Son and the Father are two different persons, apart, then that would also show the Holy Ghost is separate.
Does salvation hinge upon this person?
John 8:23-24, Jesus said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. This passage goes along with the other passages I quoted where Jesus said, I'm going to have to ascend up to where I was before. He was in heaven before he came down. He says in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So currently I believe yes. Until you believe what Jesus said, I don't believe Matthew believes that Jesus is the He that He spoke about Him, the great I Am. The Bible teaches that He is. Unless you believe that, then I'll teach you. In John 17:14, Yeshua said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He was not of the world, they were not of the world the same way. Matthew 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeshua answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you believe that Yeshua is the living God, instead of the Son of the living God, you are not part of the New Testament church. 1 John 4:15, you have to confess he's the Son of God, not God. Many, many passages talk about him as the Son of God, meaning that he's not that God. Once again, well, to answer the question, yes, salvation does need upon this. It does, so it's that serious.
Okay, if the Father quotes the Word, Father, the Word, and John 1:1.
In John 1:1, the Bible says the Word was with God and the Word was God. I take that to mean the Father. Absolutely. How can the Word be with God and be God at the same time? The same way that my Word can be with me, yet at the same time be me. Old timers often say, a man's as good as his Word. A Word and a person can be equated together, yet be separate in a sense. As I pointed out in Job, in biblical language, the foreordination, the appointments, even the very words of God are said to be with him in the book of Job. How does that equate with the scriptures? God said, let there be light. God said, such and such. God said, such and such. He created the heavens by his word. The word of him, Psalm 33:6-9, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. Yes. John 1:3 says, all things were created by him. I have a Geneva Bible up here, 1599. It doesn't use the word him. All eight English translations before the King James said, all things were created by it. In reference to the word, the Logos, not the Son. Never does the word Logos mean Son, not in the Greek Septuagint, not in the Greek text.
You know, in the Greek, the neuter gender can refer to Jesus. That's in the Greek. We don't do that too much in English. But I want you to look at the passage. The Word was with God and the Word was God. That shows the Word was not the Father, yet he was deity. Now, let's see who it really was. Was it just God the Father's utterance? It says the Word was made flesh. Now, how can anybody look at that and not see that Jesus? Now, this word that's translated him, Matthew, verse 3, which you said it could be translated yet, but you know, it's the same word in verse 16. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he whom I say. That's talking about Jesus, isn't it? So, this word, this, refers to a person, the person Jesus. And it's the same person in verse 3, all things were made by this. It's the same this in verse 15. Matthew 3, Jesus, because he's the same flesh.
According to the context of Philippians 5:6, I will take the person that spoke one day, God the Son.
Like Jesus has the same mind as Jesus went from God, the man, the servant, to death. We can't do that. No, of course. That's not what he's trying to say, that we're to go from God, the man, the servant, to die. We don't have to die physically for the cause. Some do, and that's commendable. What it's saying is, Jesus lowered himself and became, from way up here to way down here, and became a servant, thought of others better than himself. That's what we're doing. That's what we are to do. We must do. We must think of others more highly than us. We're down here low and we're servants of us. That's what it's saying. But as far as this today, verse 6 says Jesus was equal with God.
I mentioned in one of my speeches how Yeshua was equal with God. In the same sense that Joseph was equal with Pharaoh. Judah said he was equal with Pharaoh. What does that mean? It means that he was given all authority in the kingdom of Egypt. So he was equal with God. God gave him all authority. Philippians 2, Pat mentioned in one of his speeches, I can't remember, he had a chance to respond to it, that he took upon himself the form of a servant. I was saying that he was in the form of God, but not God. He took upon himself the form of a servant. But does that mean you don't believe he was a servant? He was in the form of God. But if it says he was in the form of God, he took upon himself the form of a servant and came to life with a man. Being in the form of God does not mean that he is. Remember, I showed the word Morpheus and said to us how they made a statue after the form of God. So he was in the form of God, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. He wasn't in the form of a servant. He took upon himself that form. He was in the form of God.
Was Pat not saying that Christ
Yes, Yeshua was God. In what sense? John 10:36. Yeshua answered him, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works have you stoned me? As you have answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself theos, God. Yeshua answered them. You have a charge, you have an answer. He answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, in Psalm 82, not Exodus 3 or Isaiah 9:6, but if he called those judges gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? That's the scripture he used to rebuttal the claim that he made himself out to be God. He could have quoted Isaiah 9:6. That's a messianic passage. He could have quoted a passage about God the Father. But he chose to quote one from Psalms 82. We can wrangle with that, try to twist it, but it will still be there.
In John 10:34-35, Jesus is using consistency arguments. He's not saying he's in the same class as the judges of Israel. But not in that sense. Matthew's already admitted that. He said in one of his speeches, he's not saying he's in the same class as one of these judges of Israel. He's far above that. So Jesus is not saying in John 10:34-35 that I'm like them. He's saying it's a consistency argument. They were called God, long hate Jesus. You didn't criticize them. Why do you criticize me? Not that he's in the same class as them, Matthew would agree with that. He doesn't think they're in the same class. Hebrews 1, God says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's Jesus. Now, verse 9, who's in the second person? Who's being talked to? Jesus. It's not a matter of a left hand. The second person of Hebrews 1, verse 9, this is a central passage showing that Jesus is Jesus, not all case Jesus. He's the one being talked to. It goes on to verse 10, Jesus is the one being talked to. Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth. This is the kind of God we're talking about. One who laid the foundation of the world. Jesus.
Take that. Psalm 2 says, if you are my son, dead by the dying. And he went to the dead by the dying. By the God. The marriage. How can you
I can't tell you, I think I was telling Matthew that I can't understand every single thing. Like I know I have a spirit, the Bible tells me, but I don't know where the spirit is, but it's in my brain, what part is going. I can't understand all that. But this prophecy in Psalm 2 is a prediction of what would happen if fulfilled in Jesus. We know that Jesus pre-existed that because Hebrews 1 verse 8 is a quote from Psalm, what was it, 40, I forget where, 102. And he existed because he created and founded the foundation of the world and God called him. Thy throne, O God, is forever. So, this is what I will say evidently happened. Jesus was begotten physically, and the Spirit that existed from old, from everlasting, he is the first and the last, was placed into that physical body at birth in a similar way to my spirit is created at the same time I'm born and put into my body. But the only difference is that spirit already pre-existed. So I don't see any problem with that. The spirit pre-existed. The spirit was placed in the body when I'm born. My spirit is placed within me. The only difference is my spirit is not.
That keeps bringing up small g, big g. That is something in the English language. The Greek nor the Hebrew has small g or big g. So it's reading the same in the manuscript. Where Yeshua is called God in Hebrews 1 verse 8,
once again, that's the patient who saw 45 of the street. Where Israelite king, most likely Solomon, was called God. You need to check that out. Psalm 45:6, Israelite king was called by Yahweh God. That's the passage that was attributed to Yeshua. The point of Hebrews 1 and 2 is to show that he is superior to the angels, not that he's God, but that he's superior to the angels. He is attainable, or excellent than angels, unto which of the angels have you said at any time, thou art my son? Yeshua was begotten, monogenes, and it really means he was begotten. That's when he came into existence, when he was begotten. We all come into existence when we're begotten, hey? And Yeshua came into existence when he was begotten.
If Isaiah 7, 4, 6, had a real existence, where is the evidence for he was?
That's a loaded question. If you read Isaiah 7 and 8, and even 9, you will see, and I touch on this in a book that I've written called The Virgin Birth, Fact or Fiction, and I can give that for free to anybody that asks. You will see that it was Isaiah's wife. The word virgin, Alma, in the Hebrew, has dual meaning. It can mean a sexually pure virgin, and it can also mean a young woman of marriageable age. Okay? Now, a virgin, a young woman of marriageable age, conceived by her husband in Isaiah 7. The dual meaning for that word Alma is used in Matthew 1 and Luke 1. How do we know that? Because Miriam asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And so, yes, we have two virgin births. One of them was with a sexually pure virgin in Luke 1 and Matthew 1. The other was with an Alma in the sense of a young woman of marriageable age. There's not two virgin births in the sense that Yeshua was born, but it was a dual fulfillment of a singular prophecy. I challenge you, study Isaiah 7 and 8. Don't take my word for it. Be a Berean in Acts 7 and 8. You can study it out. Did you bring up Isaiah 7 and 8?
I believe there are dual fulfillments in the Bible. I don't believe Isaiah 7 and 14 is one of them. Matthew 1, where it's quoted, says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is from the son, according to Isaiah 7:14. And a woman who's not a virgin, that's where we use the word, is not a son. So I don't believe there's a dual fulfillment there. Psalm 45, verse 6, it's not referring to anybody but Jesus. I don't believe there's a dual fulfillment there. But the most important thing is, that's kind of reflective about saying that. In Hebrews 1, where Psalm 45, verse 6 is quoted, Jesus is called God. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't matter if it's a dual fulfillment. He's called God, and it goes on to say, the person that is in the second person, that the person that's being talked to, who says, thou Lord, that's Jesus, that's the one that's called God in verse 8. Follow me up through the text. Well, what? Oh, God is forever and ever, scepter of righteousness, scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness. That's him. Keep on going. That's the person who, in the beginning, in this case, neither Matthew or I think God the Father and Jesus is the same. Now, the one that's Pentecostal believes that we both believe that they're separate and not the same. In John 14, verse 6, will bear that out. After the way of truth and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. That shows that the people who exist come to the Father by me. That shows the difference. Now, I don't know if the question was relating back to one that talked about procreation, but Jesus is the Son of God literally, that proves that Jesus is not the Father. They're separate. But since the Father is deity, it proves that Jesus is deity. That's our argument. Because you can't be the Son of deity, literally, unless you are deity. It's like you can't be the Son of man.
Simple answer to the question is that they are separate and that they're not the same. The Bible separates them numerous times, not only separating the Son from the title Father, but also separating the Son from the title God. I think I've proven that time and time again. He's not his own Father, he's not his own God. He did come forth from God, he is part of God. My son Benjamin, my 6-year-old son, he came forth from me. He's part of me, he bears my name. And without me, he wouldn't exist. Likewise, Yeshua came forth from the Father, part of the Father. Without the Father, he wouldn't exist. He is God in that sense. I'm not arguing that point. I want to make that clear because I believe with Thomas, I would say that he's my Lord and my God. I would not mean by that he's the second person of the Trinity, holy, 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 eternal Father. They're separate, they're not the same. The Bible separates them time and time. He is God's representative. He is God's primary agent.